Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Rising Tide podcast, where I'm joined with Amanda Aldrich, a friend, to talk about conscious uncoupling. So Amanda was in a long marriage and relationship, and she's going to tell you a little bit more about it. But yes, she chose constantly to end it because there was a misalignment with what she wanted. And I've come across very few people who've consciously chosen to do that. I've been one of them as well. And I have a curiosity on how you go through this. We've actually talked in the past about this, Amanda. And yeah, just bravery comes up, choosing yourself as well. And this old journey of uncertainty, what am I going to do? Because it's not something that you hear a lot out there in general. So yeah, first if I can, well, just hello, Amanda. And yeah, if you'd like to share a little bit about yourself and the relationship and what brought you to that point where, or the realization, the day, actually, yeah, that day you realized that it was no longer what you wanted.
Oh boy. Well, first, Amanda, lovely to be here. Thank you for inviting me. And who knows where we're gonna go in all of this, but we'll start with the beginning. I'm a woman in her 50s, have a corporate job, also do coaching, and yeah, two grown children. And as you said, I was married for really all of my adulthood. And as far as any, there was no single moment. It was a lot of individual moments and a lot of moments that I stuffed down out of a belief in right and wrong, and anything that was counter to remaining in relationship was wrong, and anything that I could effort forward to stay in relationship was right. And that repeated and repeated and repeated over many, many years. I had a lovely marriage. Make no mistake. My former husband was always has been a lovely human being. And yeah, and we'll probably get into more of the specifics here with some of your questions, but it was a whole lot of moments. There were some, okay, that's it, at the end of that journey, that portion of the journey.
Yeah.
But yeah, no one moment.
There was something that you said, and the reason why I'm asking actually about this is it came up as well with me, the stuffing down, like consciously stuffing down, because it didn't feel like out was wrong and in was right. Can you elaborate a little bit more about some of the thoughts? I mean, obviously I know there's a lot of them, and I'm asking this as well. Like, I had them and I went through them, so I'm curious about your perspective. But yeah, what are some of the thoughts that came out, for example, of like staying the battle between staying in and wanting to be out, and the concept of society as well, of like being good and bad?
Yeah, I think well, I think I can't comment for everybody, but I grew up with, an authoritarian father. I grew up with a wonderful stepmother. She's mom, but that indicates, there were several years there that mom wasn't there. And so there was some core wounding there, and outsourcing that need to others is something that I woke up to in my 40s, that I had a whole lifetime of doing that, and that brought certain relationships in. And I think my former husband was one of those, that I was always looking to other people for validation, for belonging, for being desired, all of those things. And out of that, at a very young age, I entered a marriage who was somebody who had their own programming and needs and outsourced desires. And I may meander here, so I welcome your
Meandering, totally okay.
and so I think I was just living out of that programming, as we all do. about, okay, so you go to school, then you go to college, then you get married and you have kids and you have the house and you go to work and you're happy about it. And then you grow old and ride off into the sunset together. And that was always the plan. I don't think anybody goes into marriage or any sort of committed relationship with this. For me, divorce was never part of the picture for me. It was, we're married, we're going to do it better than our parents did, with no judgment on them. But we both came from families where divorce had been part of the lineage, and we were going to do it right. And we were so companionate and so codependent that worked. But that programming of that's the plan, that's what you do, we ascribe to that. But that core need, unconsciously ascribed to it, but that core need to be validated, to be seen. If what I've learned is, if you're not offering that to yourself, well, it doesn't matter if you tie your life to somebody else. You're going to make them miserable. You're going to make yourself miserable. And you're going to keep looking to fill that void. And so there were lots of moments in our life, whether it was looking to friends in my circle and wanting to belong there. And then I'd come home to him if there was any wounding there, and he was, my person and could hold me in that. But that core wound wasn't addressed. And eventually that got bigger and bigger, and a whole bunch of, series of events that wouldn't be denied, that I need to learn the lesson of, I am whole and complete in and of myself, and I love me to death. He could never give that to me. As good a man as he is, he could never give that to me. And I really couldn't give that to him either. He's got his own things that he looked to me for that I couldn't provide.
I wanted, that's on the coaching as well, but there's two things that came up here. But even if he gave that to you, you would never feel it because you weren't giving it to yourself. And same exactly. To him. And yeah. So Amanda and I both come out of 1 year of intense once a week coaching, where we get coached and we coach to learn how to coach. And we talked about it. We've gone through a lot, and we've worked through a lot of our internal belief stories. And I mean, this was one of the years, but you said you've been separated before the call for 5 years now.
Yes. Officially since November 7th, 2018.
You know that?
I do know the date, because November 7th was our 28th anniversary.
Right.
27th anniversary. Yeah. And so I moved out on our anniversary.
Okay.
Yeah. And we had dinner together that night.
Beautiful way to wrap it. You say, like, it was because it was conscious and coupling. So there was conversations throughout. And just to go back onto the coaching, because we've had the coaching and we've worked a lot of things, but you have also, because you mentioned previously in previous conversations, where you've been working on yourself, finding the things and really giving yourself everything that you weren't having on an internal side. And you've been doing that. Was it before the ending of the relationship? Because I know after the ending of the relationship, you mentioned you did, but a little bit before as well, you started doing that?
No, I think that need got louder. I think that there was a lot of ego before that marker in the sand where I'm living here and you're living there. A lot of my own ego seeking that elsewhere, because it's a relationship so complicated and there's so many parts of it. But part of our journey was me looking elsewhere for attention. Okay.
I just want to name, like, ego, just because I'm aware some people just like, what the hell are you talking about, ego? And so if from my perspective, like, my ego was like, I want to be loved. Like, you should give me love. You should recognize me. You should be doing this. I should be doing this on myself as well. Like, I should be happy. And it's all these external sort of, like, said validation, but I'm just trying to put a word. So I don't know how your ego was talking at that moment.
And maybe it would be helpful to context a little bit of the journey. You asked about a single point, but there were several, I think, key moments in time. You know, maybe one was an actual moment, maybe one was a season, but my husband had a stroke when he was 42 years old. And that came on, that kicked off a season of profound experiences in our life, profoundly impactful experiences in our life. Now, to the outside world, 3 days later, nobody that had never met him before would have likely been able to tell that he had had a stroke. But anybody within his circle certainly did. And in our family, undeniable changes. He was in excruciating pain for more than a year. His pain in his head, pain in his body, muscle stuff. And he was always triple type A. And post-stroke, he was, after some recovery, he was just kind of type A. And so still high performing, but I cannot do enough justice to the journey he had to navigate internally in adapting to his new normal, because he moves in the world in different ways. Long story short on him, that has played out beautifully, but it was a very lengthy journey, years and years and years. And that's his story to tell. But as far as our family, there was a season of clinical depression, with all due respect to that, and again, the darkness that he was navigating, but the rest of us around him have to navigate that as well, and couldn't help him. We couldn't do enough to help him in what he had to face, with us by his side, but ultimately, you know, he had to face that head on, and that had an impact. Our home was a heavy place to be for a long, long time. And some of the fallout of that, he had his own business, and that started to fall apart. And I needed to go. I was earning just a little bit of income as an athletic coach at the time. And I needed to level up as far as what I was bringing to the table during that season. So I got into corporate America, started at the very, very bottom. And that was a catalyst. Being out in the world in new and different ways and meeting new and different people and being rewarded for my effort. So ego, you know, oh, these are our metrics, our KPIs, you know, our key performance indicators. You tell me you want me to do 100 of these, I'll do 120. Yay, yay me, right? And plus, just naturally being a gregarious person and a friendly person and making friendships with both colleagues as well as customers. My ego got fed. I truly enjoyed, I loved what I was doing, and my ego got fed. And that's not in a self-aggrandizing way. It was just, you know, I am doing something and I'm being complimented for doing it, and I'm wanted, I'm valued, which goes back to, if you've got that core wound and people outside of you are telling you you're good, you're great, you're doing all this wonderful stuff, well then yay, I don't have to pay attention to that. I'll just keep doing this and I'll keep getting what I need. But the contrast between that and the heaviness within our home, I couldn't handle the heaviness after so many years. And so that really sparked some conversations where I approached him trembling with, we have to have help here. I believe that counseling would be beneficial for you. I went to him trembling because I was always codependent and more of the, more of a child in as far as who's in charge in this relationship. But he went to counseling, and to him, and in later conversations, he told me this, it felt like you were throwing me a lifeline. He couldn't tell me that at the time, but that got him, that was one of the things on his healing journey. And by that time, my feeding my ego was already pointed in a different direction. But again, I had the value of, you stay in marriage, you don't do anything wrong. Okay, so I'm here. I'm miserable here. I'm happy over here, but that's okay, because this is where I spend my day and this is where I spend my night, and it's all good, until it wasn't. until it wasn't, more catalysts came along. And I'm happy to talk about any and all, but that was a really pivotal propelling into where I find myself now.
What I'm hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm just gonna concentrate, but it feels like also by you going back out and going into corporate America, there was a massive amount of growth.
Oh yeah. I had
and
to
so, yeah and so what's coming up for me, and it was one of the things, is like I started my sort of development journey on a business aspect, because I wanted to find a way to be able to have an income and also travel to be with my family, because my family is worldwide and I didn't want to choose. It was like, no, that's like not good. We had a quick conversation about the 9-to-5 jobs and women and wanting to be there with the people they love. And that was like ingrained in me. It's like, I'm going to find a way. And one of the things that you learn, and you, with any coaches, is like you define your future vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I approached my ex at the time. And so the situation was very different. So I'm not trying to, it's not about the comparing, but just more about the growth journey. Yeah. And so I was defining my 5-year, 10-year vision for myself. And I actually approached him and I said, hey, you know, can we do this exercise together?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know why at the time. And in the few, afterwards, I realized why he was resistant to this, but he never wanted to. He never did it for his own life. He always went day to day and he was okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I started realizing in the future. And what I noticed was I started creating a future where he wasn't in it, because so I was doing all this growth and I was building and I was like, okay. And I was like, yeah, people like somebody that I love and I care. And there was somebody there, but it was like, I could not share with this. And this was 8 or 9 years within the relationship. It was 11-year relationship total. So it was a new relationship, right, as well. It's like trying to build something for the future, long-term, and grow together. And I felt very frustrated for that. And then I realized, like I said, in hindsight, like I started to grow so much, but I felt like he was here and I started to grow in my own direction. And I wanted to bring him with, said there's reason. So it's the similarities, like you've grown and your husband was where he was because of what happened. And there's no blame. It's just facts, right? That's what was happening. But when you do have the growth and the person doesn't, I don't know, there was like a space and there was no finding a way to how to minimize that space or recreate. I don't know how to come up with
the
word.
No, I hear you. Hear you very clearly, and thank you for sharing. And there was, for me, there was exposure to something that I desired, which was more lightness of being, and certainly we all have our dark nights of the soul and everything, but that had been a long season of dark night for the soul. There were moments as he was navigating his internal journey, he would just want to sit, and we'd sit in the backyard at this little table, and he just wanted to be still and hold my arm, which was fine and lovely for 10 minutes, you know, but an hour later, and I wanted to come out of my skin. As he was navigating that part of his journey, I could not give to him what he needed. And I already shared the journey of, you know, okay, now I'm in the world in the effort of helping our family. We needed that income, but that exposed me to the lightness of being that wasn't sitting frozen for an hour, don't move, don't talk. And it would be a disservice not to like, oh, I grew and he was here. No. He was here. I grew. And then I fed my ego through that. He had his own continuing journey and he grew. And he came into more spiritual awareness, more seeing the journey of it, more intentionality. He was feeding spirit. He was feeding essence. I was feeding ego. So he grew. And then he was waiting for me to meet him there. And I wasn't there. I was over here. Mm-hmm. And so it was this sort of thing. And we were not ever finding one another at the same place. And I want to bring it back to the, you know, the conscious uncoupling. That is a phrase I think Gwyneth Paltrow coined the phrase, or she borrowed it from somebody. But that was something that I don't know when I put that label on it, but it was something that in the retrospect, oh, absolutely, we consciously uncoupled. And what I mean is we didn't go, okay, we're out, let's make a plan. We were conscious through the uncoupling. Once we both came to a place of understanding, we're not in the same place. This is not working. We're not able to find each other. We keep circling back around to that. We're not finding each other. And let us be kind to one another in the unweaving of our marriage contract, our patterns of what we've lived for the last 30 years. Let's be kind. Let's be intentional. Let's make sure about this. And so there was a year of me in ego, a year of him in growth in pursuing me, and then a year, and maybe I've got all those numbers, maybe 8 months of this, and it doesn't matter. But then that last year of uncoupling one another, but being sure, can we find us? Can we find us? Can we find us? And there were hurtful things along the way in that too. It wasn't this, oh, okay, now we do this, I do this, you do that, and now we're done. No, there was pain in that.
For the pain part, and this is like on honesty, and I've been seeing quite a few things on the Instagram accounts that I follow, because I do their relationships dynamics always. I'm always learning to, well, looking to learn. But it's, the pain is part of it. It's not, it's the lack of honesty that hurts way more, because when you're going to say something to, and I'll say that from my own experience, like I was super honest with him. I was saying like, this is what I'm doing, because I wanted out. And I was going on the route, like I was conscious that I wanted something to change. So my mind was more like, I was conscious it happened really the last 8 months of the relationship. The shift started happening before, but the last 8 months was like, I've been changing other things in my life. I absolutely love what I've created and what I've been able to do, but the relationship that I'm in is no longer the relationship that I want to be having. I want a different dynamic. And I was very aware of that. And my first approach was first like surface things. So let's spend some more time together, do weekends, get away, and little things. And then I also offered counseling, which was then rejected, and then we did do it. And it was then there was a moment where, and I remember this moment, I was in a taxi going to a salsa class, and it was just a one-on-one salsa class to me. And I got into the taxi and I felt very like agitated, and I put my hands on my heart. Mm-hmm. And I said, like, do I want to be in this relationship?
Yeah.
And I just, my whole body like crumbled and broke down. And I knew it was like, I wanted out.
Yeah.
This was just the beginning of COVID. There was a lot of other things going on. But from that point onwards, I started taking the steps, because I was fully dependent in my relationship. So I started looking for flats, just to, like, where do I want to live, and starting also looking for job opportunities. And my first plan was like, find myself a flat, find myself a job, and leave. And then I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this to the man that I've been together and that I've cared for so long. It's not like, it's not kind. It's not where I want to be as well. It's like, I don't want to be this type of person. And so I sat with him one night, and I remembered, like, I didn't even think about it. I was like, no, but this is now. And it just felt the thing. And I sat and looked at him, and I was like, this is what I'm doing. He goes, what does it mean? I'm like, I don't know, but that's what I'm doing. Like, this is where I'm at. This is like, and that's where he was like, okay, crap, let's go counseling. And I was like, a bit too late now, I think.
Yeah. Once you started, I mean, what I hear is those wheels had been turning. And it's when we start getting momentum in a new direction, it's hard to, that's true for us now.
And also something that I've heard, and when I talk to other friends and I notice, and it's a truth, and this is a little bit of generalization, But as women or more feminine energy, we have a tendency of wanting to figure out how to solve everything. And we think we can fix everything until we can't anymore. But we don't talk about it until we can't.
Yeah.
Until we take a big sigh here.
Let's
but when we break, it's gone. And the thing is that period beforehand, me lasted maybe truly 8 months till when I was really aware of it, like when I thought. But for some relationships, it can last years and years. It could be even a decade or longer than that. That I've talked to people, and except a woman, and it's. I mean, I guess it's. I don't know how we've been brought up. Like, you know, you be a perfect woman, you look a certain way, you smile, you do this, you get a good guy, you do this, you do that, and you'd like you figure it all out and you find it and you can't show that anything's off, because if not, you can't be loved. And well, that's how I grew up. I'll talk for my own self. And therefore you take it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Until you wait.
Yeah. Well, and you've got that rich internal dialogue or monologue, maybe. Of here's a desire, well, that doesn't align, push that down, do the thing, stay the course, but the desire doesn't die. And whatever that desire is, to be seen, to have a voice, to live a certain way, we can squash it down because of the programming that we've taken on or that's been put on us, but it doesn't die underneath that.
It never dies.
Yeah, and I think people can, to your point, I mean, I think people can squish that down for their whole lifetime. And I, that's the path I was resigned to, and that sounds so heavy, but because we had fun, you know, my former husband and I, we had lots of fun together. There was always this piece that would every now and again come up. And I think that comes up in all relationships where, yeah, I don't know. I can only speak to the relationships that I've been in. And this one, first and foremost, you know, I met him a couple of years before we got married. So 30 years, it was a 30-year relationship, and just forever. But there was that little rising, well, this is what I really want, but I won't say it, even on little things. Because I don't want to upset the apple cart. I just, you know, homeostasis, keep everybody happy. And then during that darker season, it was, let's level that up. You got to keep everybody happy. Now you've got young teenagers and you've got a man that you love who is suffering, and keep it all spinning, keep it all going, keep everybody happy, shield the kids from his depression, shield him from the noise of family life. And then in the middle, just going, yeah, and what do I want? Well, that doesn't really matter, because this is life. And until something was offered that was all felt like, you know, sunshine in comparison. And you spoke about that for you a moment. For me, there was, now that we're talking here, but there was a moment that still, even when I share this story with others, I still can't believe it. But we were in the kitchen one day, and this was my mind had already started walking different roads about desire and what I wanted for myself. And even though I couldn't let that be real, it was in there. And I started to play with it. And so I don't think I was present. I don't think I was present. And it was just a typical day. We'd come back from something, and he said, hey, are you okay? And I answered, yeah. And I've got the internal dialogue that I'm not really even keyed into running. And I've got this conversation. He goes, are we okay? And I still can't believe it. And I said, I don't know. Because for all those years, any of the my own voice of speaking counter to anything or just speaking what I desired that was most deeply true, I had stuffed down. The guard at the gate had kept that in because it's not in service to, you know, cohesion. And that, at least that's what I told myself subconsciously. That came out. And that was a match into advanced momentum around, whoa, now we've really got some stuff to deal with. And that set off all of his triggers too. We talk about the Enneagram, but he's a six, he's a loyalist. He needs, you know, or he did. There's been a lot of growth since then. And his sense of stability, which had already been rocked because of the tremendous inner journey that he'd had to walk, really, this was next level for him. And that was it. There's no taking those words back. And that really set off the, oh, now we're going to have some real conversations. And he, in response, it became very suffocating for me. I was already mentally starting to walk down another road, even though I couldn't give conscious acknowledgement of that. And anything that he did that was loving or pursuing or trying to hold on to the relationship, it had already started. It had already started. And then ego took full bloom. And on my side, he pursued. And then I had a turning around, you know, after so many months of that, and just, hey, no, this is real. We could lose our marriage here. We could lose this. And then I can't say I pursued him, but I showed up more fully about, no, let's take this seriously. And we spent months. I was in a new job, and every minute after work until it was bedtime, and all day Saturday, Sunday, talk, going back to the very genesis of our relationship and what we came into it with, and what we didn't know at the time we were seeking in one another, and all the little things. We really relived everything, crying, so much just transparent, naked honesty with one another. And yeah, there are a couple other key points probably to hit in there, but I'll take a breath here. But that's when the real work happened. That's when the real work happened.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I think you said real work and real honesty and conversations, and being real with each other. And I mean, communication comes back from the communication, and this is something also that you were saying, like you were hiding the depression from your kids, right? And it's like there was actually stop of communication. It was putting barriers from the communication. No, I can't talk about this, or we can't talk about this, or we cannot share this. And it goes, I don't know, I'm trying to put my thoughts here, but it's just that there's a lack of it. There's a lack of, well, first of all, of honest communication with ourselves. That I think most of humans aren't taught how to do it, unless they have incredible parents who have been taught to do this and pass that to their kids. You're not taught to do this. Most people not like have honest conversation with yourself, like, yo, what the hell are you doing to sabotage whatever you're going for at the moment, right? Like, be honest with yourself and stop blaming the external or whatever, or finding excuses. And then with this, the partners, your kids, and even in just on a relation in a family situation, there's a lot of like hidden stuff. No, I can't say this because I can get hurt. No, I can't say this because I can get hurt. And actually there's a phenomenon or something that I watched on it. It's Chris Willicks that he shares stuff. And he was saying like in a group settings, like you'll often have the majority of the group do something that most of them don't want to because everybody thinks that the other person might want to be doing it. They say yes, even though they don't want to, but they actually haven't asked.
Oh, the Abilene.
Yes.
Yeah, we all go into Abilene and nobody wanted to go. Yeah.
And this has happened so many times, and you see it and you're like, has anybody asked? Like, has anybody actually asked if anybody wants to do this?
Yeah.
And I think films have been shown as well, you know, like everybody, like I think there was a film about dads or whatever, how like they're doing all these things and like, why are you putting yourself in danger? It's like, well, I thought you wanted it. It's like, no, I just want to like hang out and have barbecue with my kids or whatever. It's like, yeah, me too. It's like, well, let's do that instead. And you're like, talk.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
And it's just, we're so afraid.
We continue to grow, and for, I think for both my former husband and myself, there was so much more to learn, and our marriage, it's still surreal. I don't call him my ex. I don't like that. For me, that term doesn't fit. He's my former husband and still very dear friend.
You still talk to him. You still have
Oh
great.
yeah, we went snowboarding last month with our son, and and he told
Beautiful.
me about his new girlfriend, and we talked about that, and for me, mine's been a different journey. So a couple more, I mean, full transparency, I talked about my ego getting stroked, and wanting to be seen and affirmed, and so everything that I had looked for throughout my life from a very, very young age, long before I met him, up through him, in I mentioned like in friendships and what have you, all of that wasn't being fed. That core need, see me, am I worthy? Am I lovable? Am I worth keeping? All of that. That really in my work, I was exposed to different personalities, and there was one personality. There's a quote that I love, and I know I'm gonna mess it up. It's from Carl Jung, and it's you'll have to look it up to get it right. But the essence of it is, personalities like chemicals. Whenever two come together and there's a reaction, both are changed. And I met a personality who was in a different position in life, which I think represented what I had painted as my desire, or most truly desire, but what took me to where I'm at now, which was more of a season of solitude. And I had a reaction that, and I got positive affirmations from this individual. There was not an affair there, but there was a reaction. There was a reaction to this person who was my mirror, and that gave me that lit that fire even more deeply, or that longing, or whatever that was, where I started to paint the picture of something different for myself. And then I talked about the year of us really showing up to the table. Well, my former husband, he also had a similar experience. He met a personality that was feeding a need in him that I was no longer feeding. So we took that outside of the marriage contract. But it was true. It was true for both of us. We both held to our values in that this is not anything that I'm going to further explore, but it is a real thing. And then we had common language around to, so that is where we met one another, where we can talk about some real things. This is a true thing in me. This is a true desire. I don't understand it. I don't know why we can't make this work. And the real growth, has come on the other side of our marriage arrangement. My real individual growth, his real individual growth of it's not in another person, be that a friend or a lover or a colleague or a child or anything. It's in here. But it's taken me this season of learning that it took being out of that relationship, breaking codependency through, and that unweaving, that's was the uncoupling, was unweaving not just the infrastructure of a marriage, a home and material belongings, all assets, all of that stuff, but the woven, interwoven needs that we had placed on one another. And going, now I'm alone with those needs. And for me, it was okay, so that wasn't it. It took me a minute, there was a lot of emotion around this, but there was that need still there. And so on the other side of marriage, dating apps, well, that wasn't my person. Maybe you're my person. And the universe and all its wisdom, there were there were lessons in that, and I was already awake to certain things, and I continued to wake up in that journey. And now it's only now, 5.5 years into the journey, where I'm my person. I'm my person. There is no other who will complete me. I'm complete in and of myself. There are others that we may come alongside and get to enjoy life and create expansion individually, you know, co-creatively with, but nobody on this planet completes any other person. We're all complete together, and we're all complete in and of each other. And I wasn't learning that in my marriage, and my husband wasn't learning that in our marriage.
Yeah. That's beautiful. It's the journey, always, like, I can't, just being grateful for it, like every single learnings that you go through. And what you said, though, the part of the wholeness is there's, I think it's expressions like my other half and my better half. And you all, there's a lot in culture, you talk about your partner as your other half, your other person. You're like, we complete each other. And that's sort of the misperception of, like, I need somebody else to be complete.
Right, right.
And
we don't complete each other. We enhance each other. We can.
Yeah. But it's just like the society. What I mean, society's conditioning, when you talk in general, and like words have power. And so you kind of integrate that. And it's like, I'm not whole until. And it's also the conditioning. Like, I grew up with the perception that I needed to have a man in my life, and that was a must. And today I find myself where I'm single. I've been single for 4 years. It's going to be 3.5 years. And I love it. And people's like, you don't want a guy? And I'm like, no, what for? Like, to be completely, and even for pleasure, there's stuff that. So it's like, what hell? No, but it's, so it's, yeah, like, okay, having somebody, like, my biggest thing that I miss, and also, like, separating in COVID, where I used to have, like, hugs, is, like, the physical contact of human beings. As social human beings, we need, like, it's, I was in a relationship from my, since I was 21. Mm-hmm. So I've always been surrounded with somebody that I've been able to hug. My family's not really hugging. I started hugging them in my mid-20s. But that's my biggest, like, miss, just, yeah, hugs, touch, because, like, that's what I miss. But apart from that, like, I love what I'm doing. I feel whole, and I can completely resonate in that. Just, like, I am a whole person. And I heard that, I think, you know, it was the book, The Celestine Prophecy, which I heard about that. And at the end, let's talk about energies, but more onto a color visualization, but saying, like, another person who's not whole will take your energy out, whether if you are, you want somebody else to be whole in front of you, so that you enhance each other. So it's like 1 + 1 = infinity.
Yeah.
Synergy. Not like 50, yeah, but 50 equals one. It's like, no.
Yeah.
And for that, it's just, like, beautiful. It's like, yes, like, you are whole. You find somebody who's whole as well, and you, like, what else can we do together?
Yeah.
And really, yeah, expect from that.
Yeah, I love that. And it all resonates. And the, you know, in the life lessons learned post marriage, and they've come from different places, but that one of whole and complete in and of myself, that was really learned in a small handful of relationships post marriage, one of which was the most deeply impactful, really, where I woke up to this. And it was that sort of energy taking. And I don't want to do a disservice to that individual, because I showed up for this. I showed up with my needs. He showed up with his needs. And we had our little dance on and on and off. Yeah, on and off and on and off. But in trying to understand him, that's how he learned about me. In learning about attachment styles, and well, he's obviously this. He's attachment avoidant. And wait a minute, what's this about attachment anxious? Oh crap, you know. And so all that energy that I was all that energy that I was pouring into somebody else so that I could receive what I wanted, that got turned around. And that was an extremely painful relationship, but it was the most profound, you know, outside of my children, that's the qualifier there, the most profoundly impactful relationship of my entire life, because of the catapulting, the arduous, clunky, back and forth catapulting into a new level of understanding of our wholeness, of our completeness in that whole dynamic. And yeah, and we can come along and we can enhance each other, we can take from each other, but nobody can take what you don't give. And I, in that relationship, I gave and gave and gave and gave and gave. And that's on me. And that's on me. And that's, and I thank the universe for that season as well, because of where I am now. And I'm single. I've been single for a long, long minute now. And I do welcome enhancing and synergy, and, but I'm not out there seeking it as something that I need anymore. That's the difference now.
There's one thing that I like to just go on to the future side, but just going back to the learning to be with yourself. And I, maybe there are people, but for me, it really took at being alone to learn how to be with myself.
I love that you say that. Yeah.
And because I was running away. So I'd always just go back. So left home at 18, going to university, always had housemates in a way or another. Came back to Hong Kong. In Hong Kong, I was living with family. Then I moved into my boyfriend's. And then after the relationship ended, there was other family. And then there was my family again in Hong Kong. And then I was alone.
Mm-hmm.
And at 32, 33, something like that. I found myself living on my own, first time ever in my life.
Wait, full stop. You are so much younger. I mean, so much. You look so much younger. I thought
Thank
you were.
You very much.
You are much young. I can't see. I'm flummoxed. It hit me that hard. You are in your 40s, and I have had you for a year and a half. Paid.
No, I'm 35. I'm 35.
Oh, okay.
I'm 35. Okay.
So I don't know what I heard as far as 40s go.
No. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm
35.
You still look younger than you are.
Thank you.
I apologize for that, but
no,
I just
my
brain.
Hey, this is how real life humans are in real life. And by the way, as that's just a sign up that came up in my mind. And like, humor is really good for business because it creates better connections and trust, because it's like, oh, you're a real human, I can trust you better. And so it's actually recommended. There's a whole TED talk about this, about how humor actually is better for business.
Love it. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. So living on my own, I realized, it was also a whole bunch of other things, but like, I started a new job, but the job was quite, not to, let's say, blow smoke up your ass, but I was working as an office manager and a receptionist in a company. I can do a hell of a lot more than that. Like, people were looking at me, and actually, this is completely a side thing, but it's, one of the board members came into, and I started talking, and we were talking about different topics. My colleague next to me was looking at me like, yeah, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Cause like, and he was looking at me, and he was like, what are you doing behind this desk? That's a story for later. So I was starting this job, which wasn't hard, but it was a lot of demanding. And then, so my colleague went off on holiday. So I had two jobs at the same time that I picked up within 2 weeks, because that was urgent. That's why they needed somebody ASAP, because she was leaving on holidays. And so they needed somebody there. And so I found myself, I think I talked about this, but within less than a month, I went from not knowing how I was going to pay for myself at the end of the month, needing to move out of my family place, needing to find an income. And I found a job within the first week, found myself a flat like 5 days afterwards, moved in about 10 days afterwards, and then started the job like all within the month of June. Like, it went from not knowing how the hell I was going to end the month to like, like the 21st of June, I was like full speed ahead in my flat, job, everything gone, poof. And my colleague was going to leave in 2 weeks, and I needed to figure out everything else at work. And I did it. But I also went in and just like kept busy. And I started taking extra activities. I was in different things. And I just, I, And I was looking, I came home and I felt tired. And I was like, what the hell am I doing? What am I running away from? What am I avoiding to feel? And I came to presence with this going like, hold on, there's something wrong. And there was also other emotions coming out from outside, things pissing me off at work, but things pissing me off outside of work as well. In the activities I was doing. And I was like, but I'm actually running away from something. And it was afterwards, because that was June, the whole sort of explosion. July was like full steam ahead. August was like explosion. And it was in September that I cut everything loose. So all the activities I stopped, and I didn't have anything planned. I just went to work and that's it. And then afterwards I saw like what felt right that I wanted to book back in. And then it was like, actually, I was running away with the crappy dialogue that was going on in my mind. Like, I should be better. I should know better. I shouldn't be doing this. I should be doing that. All these shoulds, all this. And I was running away from this. That was because that was mean. I didn't want to be with this. And being alone enabled that. I don't know if maybe it's something else would have, but that's what was required of me to be there and to realize, like, hold on, there's something internally that I'm not doing.
Thank you. And I think while it's played out differently, that lesson has also come along, or that awakening has come along in my journey. I mean, I talked about the, you know, on the other side of marriage, it was okay, it wasn't this, maybe it's this for me, and diving in and channeling energy, that energy, towards looking for my other. And it's only in the, there's been evolution from the beginning. My own first apartment, you know, similar to your journey, with my family until I was with flatmates, until I was in the military for a couple of years, until I was married, and I was married when while I was serving in the military, I got married, and there was never ever a point at which I lived alone, been alone outside of, you know, my own thoughts, and on the other side of marriage, with that sort of energy of looking for the my other half, my better half, there was a new level of aloneness for me because I lived alone for the first time, and there was an aliveness to that and an awakeness to that, and I think it's Thich Nhat Hanh that, and forgive me if I misquote, but hello, acknowledging, oh, hello, loneliness. Hello, loneliness. It's okay that you're here, but you don't get to stay. And so I navigated that season with that sort of awareness. I feel this. I feel alone. I feel alone in ways I've never felt that before, but I was also looking to other things to fill that quote unquote hole. Right, whether it was activity or dating or TV, or I'm gonna go grab a beer with this friend, or let me fill in these spaces, or I will go do some cool adventure, but it's really so that I'm not alone with this feeling. And it's only in the last 2 years that I've really, and there's a couple of stages to this, have had deeper experience of alone. I've not seen or dated anybody in full stop for 6 months. And then my last relationship wasn't really a relationship. It was just a convenient, let's see each other every now and again. And you're a really good energetic person. I'm a really good energetic person. And this kind of works. And then I'll see you when I see you, you know? So I had a season of that, and that very graciously has gone to the wayside. And now with coming out of winter here, this last winter, there's really been a strong contrast of, oh, this is next level alone. This is because I'm not pursuing. I am awake to any of my little patterns of numbing. Am I going to bed with Netflix tonight? and why? And why am I going to sabotage my tomorrow? What is the, what's that hunger? What's that need? Am I going to turn, for me, I walked across Spain and I lived in Spain in 2022 for 3 months and had never liked beer. I fell in love with beer in Spain, walking the Camino and mix a little lemonade in there. And now we can talk and it's only a euro. Are you kidding me? And I came home with that love of beer. So a numbing out with that as well. Well, here's a little treat for me. I don't feel good. Here's a little treat. And I think there's beauty in taking care of ourselves with little treats, but let's be alive to, is this me loving that part of myself, or is this me avoiding something? And so this last winter, I've been really awake to all of that. And that's okay. Hello, loneliness. You can be here, but you don't get to stay. And very alive. I've lived a lot of seasons now, very alive to spring is coming. Let's honor the journey. Let's slow down. Let's love. And when I say let's, I mean, let me love me in ways that also serve me. And spring's coming. So, it's the first time, and I just turned 53 a week ago, and it's the first time in 53 years of living that I have really, really been alone. And that is okay. It's more than okay. It is formative and it is nourishing, not without challenge, but it's nourishing. And now it's spring is here. I've got projects in the works and yeah. And come on, life, whatever it is, whatever you have next, let's do it.
There's something that came up, and it's the definition also between like being alone and feeling lonely.
Yeah.
And one can be alone without feeling lonely.
Yes.
And one could be surrounded by people and feel the loneliest person ever.
Certainly.
And like in big cities and things like that, it's where you have the numbing, this and the that, and you think you should be happy in all this, but you actually feel the loneliest because there's nothing that you can relate to. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a Brené Brown quote that's coming up. Well, not really a quote, but when you're alone and you're really embracing that, you know you belong to yourself.
Yeah.
And the reason why we feel loneliness is that we don't belong. There's a missing of like, where do I belong? Why am I not belonging to anything? But when you do have that belonging to yourself, that's my perception. And it's also but just belonging to yourself first. And then even in moments of long time alone, you're never lonely if you're with yourself.
I think you, I absolutely. And I think what comes up for me is I think people may believe that that's a linear journey. In my experience is that it's not. It's a this kind of journey.
Oh yeah, like life.
Yeah.
A roller coaster. Who's in?
I mean, I mentioned going to Spain. I went to Spain. I didn't know one person there. I had this opportunity. It was a home. I manifested it. I really actually spoke this into existence, and that's when I woke up to the whole concept of, wow, our words matter. So let's be really, really intentional about what we're putting out there, because I had this amazing experience and I did this home exchange. I went with a job, the job fell away, but that was a new level of alone. Because I definitely, again, circular journey, I had different periods of that, you know, in that time there, and of alone and loneliness and both and one and neither and all of that stuff, but an awakeness to it all in the process. Go to a country where I speak the language would be such a stretch, but I know enough and I can smile to, you know, that I kept myself fed that when I walked the Camino, I was able to, like, you know, get a bed for the night.
Yeah.
But that was a next level experience. I have no one I can call here, and I don't speak the language, and I'm doing this solo. I and that was a next level thing. And then this last season has been a level beyond that, where it's now I'm in my home environs, and everything around me is, COVID notwithstanding, and all of that, but is the same. And I'm just that much more awake to things. And when loneliness comes, I recognize it for what it is, because it does still come. And that it's also a choice that can be. I've gotten to a place in my life where loneliness is a choice. If I choose to remain in loneliness, if I've woken up to the fact that I am lonely, there's a thought that goes along with that. And if I can arrest that thought, and what am I making that mean? That I'm alone. I am. It's a fact. I'm alone in this house, aside from, having this call with you and my little cat running around somewhere. I'm alone in this house. And when we finish our conversation, I will still be alone in this house. And loneliness is making alone mean something. I will always be alone. Whatever the story might be. And loneliness, I think, can have sadness. Loneliness is sadness. And you can not have
Well,
sadness.
loneliness kills the maths. There's the research that shows people who feel loneliness are 30% more likely to die early. And
Terrible.
it's massive numbers. It's massive. And even it was it, which one is it? Braving the Wilderness. And I was saying feeling loneliness is like when you feel thirsty or you feel hungry. When you're thirsty, your body's telling you you need to drink. When you're hungry, your body's telling you you need to feed. When you're lonely, your body's telling you you need social connection and real connection, not horse crap. And this is, I'm swearing all words, but pretend like, hey, we're buddies, let's grab a glass together and pretend we're like have common interests. And what I mean, like, pretend have common interest is like gossiping about people or talking about superficial things. Like the real conversations you can have with a friend is just like truly saying like how you're doing, and the friend in front of you who's not doing well can really like my day's shit, and you can hold it and you can be there and you can hold space and together. Or if your day is amazing, you can be there with that person. I was like, oh my gosh, tell me some more, or celebrate with that person and be there. And instead of like feeling jealousy or resentment or whatever, because it's not happening for you, you're actually present for the person in front of you. And that's real connection. And so yeah, and so loneliness kills. And it's yeah. So and but it's true. It's a you can say cure, air quote, but it's not really cure, but
You can help yourself, and again, like clinical depression, anything
yeah,
that
that's
all of the
that would be hormonal induced as well. So there's something else deeper underneath that, yes.
But exactly. There's resonance in all of that.
I wanted to, I'm aware of time. We went a bit early and actually a bit over early. But I was having such a beautiful conversation that I wanted to share. And if we ever want to rediscover this, continue a little bit longer, I'd be happy to. But there's something that came for the future. So saying like you're not searching for something in the future. And I actually want to talk to this because it's more on the relationship building for your own self. And one thing that comes up for me, and that's why I say also, is become the person you want to be with the future partner. And if you're not that person yet, then what do you need to do to become that person today? So just visualize who you want to be in the, not who do you want to be for that partner, but who do you want to be? So you get to be that person. So whoever you meet falls in love with you that you love being. And then you don't have to be anybody else but you, because they'll love you for exactly who you are. And I'd like to talk to that a little bit, because that's, yeah.
For certain. And I think dovetailing with that is what we speaking to my own journey, what I have sought in the small handful of relationships that I've had, what I've woken up to about my historical pattern in dating is that if somebody gave me butterflies, that's because I am projecting onto them something that I don't think I can have, and then I'm a little bit giddy at having it. But what I've discovered in retrospect is something is what they have is something that I want for myself. And to ground that, You know, I had a, I don't know what my type is now. I don't know if I have a type, but what I have had was this type, this outdoorsy, independent. I'm gonna go sleep in the woods. I've got my, you know, my camper around that, all that stuff. And that was, that's all in me that represented, you know, I won't search for words. Cool. You know, that's cool. That's that person.
I was gonna say inner desire. That was the inner desire in you.
That was the inner desire in me. I have learned that in retrospect. And you know, I so you know, dating person number one had would ride motorcycles, you know, tech geek, motorcycle riding. And my former husband had a motorcycle. We never took it out as much as I wanted to in the later years. And then I date this guy for a minute and I'm like, well, hold up. I can get a motorcycle. And so I got a motorcycle license and the, you know, I took this class, the safety class, and then I bought a little motorcycle on my birthday and, you know, a little Honda Rebel tiny thing. And I still have her and it's wonderful. And that was a part of me. And he represented a part of me that I wasn't allowing myself. And I did that. You list out it's five, if anybody's counting it, the five men that I have spent any energy on in getting to know or desiring over these last 5.5 years. And well, with this person, you know, he was a mountain biker and just always out in the woods and doing that. Well, I grew up running around and biking in the woods. I'm like, well, hold up. Let me go mountain biking. Let me join a group. Let me do that. And then that most impactful relationship, I, long story short, I bought a camper and I've been driving around the country in my camper and I, you know, renovated the electrical and then he's long gone, but that part of me that's always been there has been made manifest. So I was seeking in others something that I desired to have expressed within myself. And so that whole become the person, you know, that you're seeking, become the one that you're seeking. Absolutely. And it's for anybody that listens to Abraham Hicks, you know, it's always said that, you know, if you meet somebody like who's at whatever level you're at. So I was a new divorcee, putting need out into the world, wanting other people to fulfill me. And that's what I attracted in. So becoming what, you know, the version of yourself that you would want to date. And you put it so much more eloquently than I did, but that's it. So I'm looking at myself going, well, would I want to date me? What are the areas of my life that I still want to work on? And if the person I meet, if there were a person that I was to meet, if they're working on that, would I be okay dating that person? You know, so just keep working on me, let the universe take care of the rest of it and enjoy my life. Enjoy it, you know. That's what's doing these days. I'm currently installing new shelves in the camper. And I'm taking off at the end of next month for my next trip.
Ah, very nice. But yeah, I think that's a beautiful place to start wrapping up. I actually kind of gone from like the big sort of all the way to that. Amanda, so we both mentioned if people want to look you up and want to know where they can find you, hear a bit about you or get in touch with you, where can they do that?
Yeah, certainly. I have just a landing webpage. So Amanda Aldrich, ALD as in dog, RIC as in cat, H.com.
Put that in the show notes as well, so people can find it in the descriptions.
But I'm also publishing regularly on Medium, Amanda Aldrich Coaching, on Medium. That's put my random meandering thoughts out there.
Very nice. Yeah, Medium's one that I go back to every now and then. I like that, actually.
Yeah, I do too. It's been
good SEO. So.
I'm sorry?
But it's got good SEO, search engine optimization.
I found, you know, it's a mixed bag in there, but I like, for me, it's the personal accountability, the ease, and writing's always been a thing for me. So throwing words to the wind. I'm finally honoring that within myself. So I don't have to be a writer to learn that lesson.
There's a few things, but and actually this is a question that I was writing down just as before we get to this, but we'll see if it works. Is there anything that you'd like anybody who's still with us after this long time, but for takeaways or an ask of the people, like either an intention to be or just a takeaway, really, to if there's like one thing you like, or stronger than anything else? Of course, we talked a lot about a lot of things, so but yeah, from people listening.
Let me breathe on that for a second. I mean, what comes up is just being kind to yourself. We're all on journey, and none of us have it all dialed and all figured out, and where you are now is not where you will be a month from now, 6 months from now, a year from now. And the people that you're navigating this current part of your journey with, be kind to them as well, even if you're odds with one another, because that only brings forward fruit, whether you see it with this person or only with yourself, all around you. Yeah, be kind and be patient.
Beautiful.
Anatara, thank you so much.
I just wanted to ask, is there anything else that you wanted to add? Anything else extra that I haven't asked that you actually do want to share or come up to mind?
The only thing that came up that was that, you know, I know this is about myriad things, but conscious uncoupling was the intent. And while my former husband and I, you know, that was not an easy journey, if it offers any nugget to anybody who might be listening to this at some point, we are still very dear friends. We needed time away from one another. But in practical ways, we don't see each other regularly. We FaceTime every now and again, but we went snowboarding 5.5 years later after we said goodbye officially to one another. Say goodbye to our marriage. We went snowboarding with our adult son last month, spent the day together, and it was one of a profound blessing to which I was fully awake all day, just going, yeah. And that gal 5.5 years ago who was going through the shit, we could have used a glimpse of this day, could have used a visit into the future to go, hey, it's okay. Everybody's okay. Everything's okay. Yeah. And so just breathe in and out. You're okay too.
Yeah. There's one thing that came up to me. It came up earlier, and as you say this again, is I think it was one of our Audible from Esther Perel, who started doing personal relationships, and then now she just do coaching for companies and corporates, because relationship is two human beings hanging around, that's the relationship. And she interviews a couple where they were married, it would never work together, and I think there's kids involved, or I'm not, yeah, I think there's a kids involved, and then they got divorced. But when they got divorced, they actually got along way better. And the psychology of it was also because within the frame of marriage, there were certain expectations that there were, people thought there was expectations to be had in a marriage. So they projected that that's how I need to be. And outside the marriage, that was gone. And she was coming, I think she's Mexican or Latin roots. And so that was very strong on her. And so she feels she couldn't do things on her own. And when she was in the marriage, but when she wasn't, she could. But she still had a very strong relationship. So even if there's a divorce, it doesn't mean that it's the end of the relationship, or it's a new relationship that's coming up with the same two people.
It's redefining. Exactly. It's redefining the relationship. And I... that lands on me, you know. Even that day snowboarding, we had so much fun and laughing, and he waited for me just like he always did, going down the hill every single run, because he's faster than me, and he'd go ahead and he'd stop and he'd wait for me, and he'd go ahead and he'd stop and he'd wait for me. And I just, my heart just swelled. I love this man. I've always loved this man. I will always love this man. And in the next breath, and I'm so glad I'm not married to him. Not in any sort of disparagement towards him, but removing all of that, removing all of that have to, and just, I just get to appreciate you as you are. And some people can do that within a marriage. And I had to get outside of the marriage to learn that. Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for taking the time and being open to share this journey that you've been on. I appreciate it very much. Yeah. And for those listening, thank you for listening all this way. I know it's a little bit longer. And I hope you've taken anything away. And if you have, if you've taken anything, don't hesitate to share this episode with anybody who could take anything away as well. Yeah, share it around. And to share with us as well, find Amanda on her landing page or myself on socials, Tara Barrow on most places. And yeah, share with us your takeaways.
Thank you, Tara.